Today is the 14th of December, 2020, and I'm interviewing Fiona Roberts, who is a final year trainee in Dublin. And what are your particular interests?
Intensive care. So I plan to do intensive care fellowships starting next year.
And the job you're doing at the moment, is it a mixture of all aspects of anaesthesia, or does it specifically include intensive care?
It's a mixture. So it's mainly anaesthesia training, but we do a lot of intensive care within that.
And I'm going to talk to you about how COVID has affected you, both personally and professionally, if I may, over the next 50 minutes or so. So that's great. So let me just start by asking you a little bit about your training. I know that, and so there was some influence on you to do anaesthetics, or you just decided for yourself?
I suppose I saw the positives of the job. I decided quite early in medical school that I would do anaesthetics. And then I did a couple of electives, one in the UK and one over in America, and I loved it.
Whereabouts in the States?
In the States, in New York Presbyterian in Manhattan. So yeah, that was a great experience. Wow.
But anaesthesia there is very, very different, of course.
Oh, it's very different. It's almost not comparable.
And I very much remember the saying that we had in this country that the sun should never set on the same anaesthetic more than once. And that, that didn't apply in America. Where did you do your training?
So I did all my training in Ireland, but we tend to move, we get moved around the country. And so it's a national training scheme. So mainly in Dublin and then a bit in Cork. In Ireland as well. Yeah, so they're my two main spots.
And what point, may I ask a personal question, what point in your training did you get married, so that we get an idea of...
So I got married 15 months ago, so that would have been in my my third SPR year. So I'd done 5 years at that point, and then, yeah.
Is your partner medical?
He is, he's an ophthalmologist.
And I gather, and we're going to come back to talk about this aspect of it, you recently had a baby.
Yes, I had my first baby in August. So towards the end of August. So I was I was pregnant for most of the pandemic here.
Wow.
And then had baby in August. I'm currently still on mat leave, going back in January to work.
So you're still on leave at the moment?
Yeah, going back in January, a couple of weeks, yeah.
And the baby is well, I trust.
She's great. Yeah, she's brilliant. So all good.
Let's then ask you the obvious question. When did you first become aware, both personally and professionally, about this terrible COVID business? When did it start to affect you and your life and your family life?
I suppose in February, we were hearing a lot about the pandemic, and I suppose at that point, I hadn't really hit home the reality of it. I had found out I was pregnant in January, so I was kind of focused on that. Then early March, in Ireland, we started to kind of gear up towards the fact that this might start to affect us very soon. I suppose in early March, we were watching what was happening in Italy, and that's when people started to get stressed. I suppose that we've been talked a lot during the pandemic is about Ireland's number of intensive care beds and how Ireland is equipped for these kind of mass pandemics, and we're not very well equipped. So it was a very quick gearing up, and there was a lot of stress quite initially in the first few weeks, when I suppose we could see what was happening overseas. Then from a personal point of view, I suppose there was very little knowledge, obviously, of the virus in general, but also how it affected people in pregnancy. There was kind of stuff coming out of China where it was saying pregnancy wasn't, you know, a huge risk factor, and pregnant women didn't seem to be any more vulnerable, but of course no one really knew. So there was a lot of unknown, and in Ireland, I suppose we tend to sometimes follow the guidelines from the UK, but there was very little guidelines in Ireland about whether I should be working, shouldn't be working, and what the risks, because nobody knew, I suppose. So that added a whole extra element to the thing. I was quite determined to keep working, but obviously I wanted to do it in the safest way possible. I didn't want to. I was at this point, I was only 12 weeks pregnant, and if I could and do it in a safe way, I was quite determined to keep working through it. And I had a great, great obstetric care and a great obstetrician who guided me. But at the same time, there were no guidelines. And I hear from colleagues in the UK, the departments did risk assessments. And a lot of my friends who are anaesthetists in the UK and pregnant were taken off clinical work. Whereas that wasn't the case here. It was kind of left up to your own decision. But that, I suppose, there's a lot of unknowns with that.
the last interview I did was with a consultant obstetric anaesthetist at Northwick Park Hospital.
Yes.
And she was telling me, she runs the anaesthetic service there, how they had no idea what to do at the beginning.
Yes.
And how to address it. And I won't tell you what she told me because I don't want to influence what you're going to say. But it's quite clear that they felt their way, and I don't know if they've ever got round to publishing the results or whether that will come in due time. But so you were working at that time in general anaesthesia or in obstetric anaesthesia?
At the time, in general, I just started an ICU intensive care module. So I was due to be in intensive care for the next 2 months. And then when the pandemic started, I realized I switched back out of ICU. I had to have that discussion. I switched out of ICU back to general theatre. I didn't know what was the right thing to do, but I knew probably intubating known COVID patients wouldn't be the ideal thing to be doing. So at that point, I switched back to general theatre.
And was that difficult to organise, or were they encouraging your senior colleagues?
No, they were encouraging. I suppose I decided to do it myself, but they were very open to whatever I thought was probably the best idea. And there was no problem with that. Just for my own sake, I wanted to do that module. I was due to be sitting the ICU exams at that time as well, which obviously all got postponed. So it really changed how that job rotation was going. But I was much happier to kind of be in theatre. Although also in theatre then, there was a lot of uncertainty in theatre as well. But it was definitely a safer option than being in intensive care.
Would I be right in thinking that back then, the period we're talking about now, people weren't being routinely tested? It was difficult to get tests in this country.
Yeah, definitely initially. So definitely initially that was the case. Towards kind of April in Ireland, I would say the majority of cases, we moved to mainly emergency surgery, cancer and emergency surgery. But we were still doing quite a lot of cases in my hospital. Most cases were being tested. Initially it was just a questionnaire and if there was any risk factors they were being tested. But then after that, they did move to testing the majority of patients. But I suppose at the end of the day, when you're on call, it's a lot of emergency work. So you don't know what you're intubating. And at that time, I know looking back now, intubation might not be as risky as it seemed at the time. I suppose that's what the research is kind of showing. But at the time, it was considered, I suppose, very risky. And all the worries about PPE and access to it. We didn't end up, in theory, having as much problems with that because I suppose we weren't ever hit as badly as we were expecting. Where I was working anyway, there weren't huge shortages in PPE, but it was all this extra added concern around the issue, I suppose.
How did you find, the fact that you were pregnant may have been an extra problem, but how easy did you find how often did you need to get into PPE and to look after patients?
I suppose I probably wore it a little bit more consistently. Even if it wasn't strictly indicated, I would wear proper masks and things just because of being pregnant. But someone was known for COVID, I was avoiding going into those patients, which actually caused a few problems from that point of view. But so I wasn't wearing it as frequently as some of my colleagues, I'd say. But I didn't find it a problem when I was wearing it.
What you just said, you said it caused a few problems.
Well,
because they felt that they were bearing an increasing burden of risk and you were avoiding the risk.
I suppose during the day it was more, a kind of manpower issue in that I would have to be swapped out of theatres. And not that anyone ever, complained about that, but that was something I felt a bit of an issue. But more where I felt it was as a senior reg on call, I felt it was my responsibility as the most senior person in the house to intubate anyone who was at risk of COVID or COVID patients, especially early on, instead of leaving it to junior colleagues. But then at the same time, I didn't want to be exposing myself to most senior. So at that point, that was what caused a bit of difficulties for me, knowing whether I should come off call or just continue and allow someone else or rely on more senior consultant backup if that happened. And in the end, it all worked out fine. But it was just, it was just those considerations. What is the best thing to do in the situation, for everybody?
Yeah. So it was mostly a problem that you experienced yourself. You felt guilty, not that anybody ever said to you.
Yeah, no. And that is the way in medicine. I think the big problem really is that it was because no one really knew and there's no guidelines, it was left up into your decision making. So you you have that sense of guilt, which is unfounded really, but you know.
And how long did that go on for, or did it just go on all the way through and maybe even now?
I suppose when things initially we were cheering up to be, we thought we'd be hit as bad as Italy was. So in the first few weeks, obviously everything was heightened. Then things kind of settled quite quickly in Ireland. And I was doing a lot of the theatre side of things. We actually moved to the private hospital, which was a bit of a change. And we were operating solely, apart from known COVID patients, we were operating solely out of the private hospital. But so you felt a little bit safer. It was just a little bit separate from that point of view. And still on call, I'd have to go into the intensive care. And I suppose that was always, a bit of a, should I be in here at all? But,
that was an intensive care that actually had COVID patients on ventilators.
Yes. So on call, I'd be the senior reg on, but you'd be called into intensive care to help the SHOs there. But I would actively avoided trying to go into a room with a COVID patient, just because I wasn't sure whether it was.
And I'm hoping to get a feel for how this whole pandemic has affected you and how we have dealt with it. Did you feel that there was any resentment against you by your colleagues or your senior staff, your junior staff?
I don't think so. I don't think there actually was. I think we were in a position where we were quite short on senior trainees as it was. So I think I probably put the extra burden on myself. And I mean, most people would have were eager for me to continue call, but they did. I do feel that any decision I made regarding what I thought was safest was accepted with no questions asked. And yeah. I think being left up to my own decision, I think it would have been easier if I was just told, but I suppose at the end of the day, it's your own health. So you had to take the decision yourself. And I do feel that all my decisions would have been kind of respected in that way. So that was one was a positive thing about the department.
At what point did you stop working?
I kept working till I was 36 weeks pregnant. So I worked through, throughout it. And then I came off at 36 weeks when I got preeclampsia. So I had to come off at that point, but I was planning to come off around that point.
And is that the normal point at which women in Ireland stop working, at about 36 weeks?
I think 36, 37 weeks, I think, is around normal, yeah.
And you're...
For most people, anyway.
You got preeclampsia, right. Were you okay? You weren't too unwell.
No, I was induced quite quickly. I had good care. And then my baby Georgina ended up in the neonatal intensive care for a few days, intubated. But she did great, actually. It was a bit of a shock and a scare.
Induced at what point? 20 or 38 weeks?
At 37 weeks. Wow. Induced, yeah.
And that you were induced because of your blood,
My blood pressure had been going up, and then I had protein in my urine then for the first time, and they made the decision to induce me the next day. So it was all quite rushed at the end.
And Georgina went straight to intensive care?
She went straight to the HDU, and then she developed tension pneumothorax in the HDU, and was then intubated and transferred to the NICU. So yeah, it was all a bit of a shock.
And how long was she in NICU?
Just 4 days.
With a chest drain, poor thing.
No, she thankfully just had a needle aspiration, and they just kept her intubated and kind of calm and still for a few days.
Did you say 4 days?
4 days, yeah.
Wow, that's very, very hard.
And I suppose the added, the obviously all the visiting restrictions were in place. Now I delivered in Holles Street, which is a big maternity hospital in Dublin, and they were very good in that they let my husband come in at the same time as me to the NICU, which made a huge difference. Because
I'd like to go back a few steps, days, if you don't mind. When you went in with preeclampsia, was your husband allowed to come in to the maternity hospital with you then?
No. So I went in and was induced at 8 a.m. in the morning. And I spent the day there, and it was the following morning that he was, when I actually was transferred to the labour ward, that's when they're allowed to come in. So I spent the day there by myself, and then they called him in for the actual labour. And then following Georgina's birth, he went back home then. He wasn't allowed to come back to the ward or anything after that. So.
But he was allowed to be with you during the labor.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard some very strange stories and frightening stories about husbands who weren't allowed into the labor ward and all sorts of things in certain hospitals around the country. But that was not a
no, and thankfully I haven't heard of anyone in Ireland that that's been the situation. I think they've always been allowed in for either C-section or labor, thankfully.
And Georgina was in NICU for 4 days, I think you said.
Yes.
And then came out and was with you back on the ward. Okay.
Back on the ward for one night, and then we were discharged home. Yeah.
And how is she now?
She's brilliant. She's great. Yeah, never. How old? She's almost 4 months.
4 months now. Wow.
Yeah.
And doing all the right things.
Yes, exactly.
And are you getting sleep?
A little bit. I wouldn't say a huge amount, but enough.
When would you anticipate, I mean, this is terribly personal, and if you don't want to answer, please don't. When would you anticipate returning to work?
Returning to work in January.
So January, she will only then be 5 months off?
5 months, yeah. I suppose because we have to repay the time training-wise, I'm eager to get back. I'm not looking forward to going back to 24-hour call with a baby at home, but I think it's easier to get back and start getting it done.
I don't know what your husband does, and I don't know what arrangements you've been able to make for the baby. Presumably, there isn't a creche at the hospital that you'd be happy to take the baby to at the moment.
No, we don't have any. I don't know if you do in the UK. We don't have any creches and hospitals either, which is unfortunate. But also in Ireland now with COVID, and creches are very reluctant to take any babies under 1 year of age. They were always reluctant because I think insurance reasons and the ratio of staff. But now with COVID, they're being particularly cautious. So there were no creches that would take her, unfortunately. So we have arranged a childminder, but I do a lot of 24-hour calls. I will be doing this job coming up, and my husband obviously does on call, but from home. So coordinating will be an issue, right. And that's something we're already quite stressed about. But we're hoping we'll figure it out. We might need two nannies, but I'm sure we'll figure it out somehow.
How about, I happen to know your mother. She's not volunteered to move in and look after the baby.
Well, actually, my husband's working in Limerick this year, so I'm living with her at the moment. And she's doing a lot of babysitting for me at the moment, which is great. But I'll be joining him back in work in January. But at the moment, I'm getting a lot of babysitting help. That, yes. Yeah, she still works a lot, so not full time yet.
Indeed. Well, that's amazing. You know what maternity hospitals are like in normal times. You've worked in them. You've done epidurals. You've worked in the operating theatre. How are things being managed now in your hospital, in the labour ward? Have they had to introduce major changes in the care for patients?
Well, yeah, well, I suppose the hospital I was most recently working in, the obstetric units in Dublin are all separate sites, but they're linked to the main hospital. But I suppose the biggest change was visitors. I suppose the maternity hospitals in Ireland are such old, small buildings that it's almost been a positive thing, I think, in terms of crowding around the hospitals. You notice a big difference. They're much quieter. In terms of then labour ward, not a huge amount of differences, just I suppose PPE. We actually didn't end up having too many sick obstetric women with COVID or too many COVID cases in general and pregnant women in Ireland. I think things are almost, they're almost trying to go back to a little bit more of normality now. Elective theatre obviously stopped for a while, but most hospitals in Ireland restarted elective theatre quite early on in the summer. So we've been back to elective for quite a while. And I suppose things like ward outbreaks and temporary closures and things like that, but otherwise things are trying to function quite as normal.
My experience outside of the four walls, or the four walls of my home at least, we get out for walks. My wife and I are both we're fit and healthy, but we haven't been to a restaurant, we haven't been into anybody's home since February. So we do get out, we go occasionally out and walk, sitting, looking at huge open space in the middle of Oxford. And we walk in the meadow, when we walk around, and sometimes we get in the car and go a bit further afield. But life is very strange for us.
Yeah.
What is life like for you in Ireland at the moment? Are people allowed into each other's homes? Are families mixing?
Well, I suppose at the moment, yeah, we're in December. We had a first lockdown in March, April, and that was a very strict lockdown. And then we opened up a bit over the summer to the point that you could visit people in their home. You were still meant to be doing social distancing, and you could go to a restaurant in a group of six, and you could go to a hotel with some, you couldn't go to the spa, the pool, but you could somewhat normality. And then in October, we went into a second lockdown because our cases were rising. And we came out of that lockdown on December 2nd. So at the moment, it's a temporary, I suppose, taking into account Christmas plan. And what we're allowed to do is we're allowed to go to pubs that have food in a group of six and stay an hour and a half. We are allowed to go to restaurants. We're not meant to leave our county until the 18th of December. So if you're living in Dublin, you're not meant to leave. You can't leave Dublin. And then they're opening that up on the 18th of December to allow people travel home for Christmas. So it's definitely not back to normal. But we are in the last week, we have returned a little bit more in that we can have indoor dining. Until last week, we were allowed to get takeaway food and coffees, but there was no indoor dining at all. Right. So at the moment, it feels slightly more normal, but I think it's probably also a temporary.
Yeah. Your regulations sound very similar to ours. Yeah. I think the problem has been the lack of obedience to the regulations. Are people in Ireland being fairly observant of the regulations?
In general, I think they are. Now, during the first lockdown early on in the year, it might have been the same in the UK, there was huge buy-in for the lockdown and everyone was observing, and there was a 2 kilometre radius, you know, you can only go 2 kilometres and everything, and everyone observed it. I think this time around now, people are getting a bit fed up and there's less buy-in as well for the restrictions. But I think in general, people are being quite good. I think the fear of Christmas and spreading it to families is keeping people, even though the restrictions are lifted, a lot of people are actually being quite cautious, fear of passing on to older relatives over the holidays. They haven't been terrible, but at the same time, you know, could be better.
A couple of more general questions, if I may, because you are the first person I've interviewed from Ireland. So as we are the association of excluding Ireland, I'm not asking these questions, 2 or 3 questions. Vaccine. We have had the promise of vaccine and they've actually started in theory, although I think the numbers so far in vaccinated have been very low. What's the position with vaccination in Ireland?
We're still basically waiting to hear. I know I read in the newspaper that Leo Varadkar was saying that healthcare workers and the high risk population will be vaccinated by the summer, which seems very far away. So I suppose we're all hoping. We had initially heard to be start rolling out in January, but we haven't heard any more about that yet. So I would be surprised if it was as early as January or February, but fingers crossed, it won't be too much longer than that.
Right.
We haven't been given a definitive date yet.
Are people happy or are they as depressed as I think most people of my age, particularly who've been semi-isolating for a long time, but there seems to be a pretty glum. A lot of television. We spend a lot of time watching television, including Netflix and things like that. And that's the first thing people talk about when they meet or on the telephone is, what have you been watching on television? I've seen a good program, this, that, and the other. Is it the same?
I don't think anyone's ever watched more television in their life. It's exactly the same. And I think definitely in the last few weeks, towards the end of the last lockdown, people were getting very down. And people are really starting to struggle. I think people held through for the first few months and were very positive, actually. And we're really starting to rediscover Ireland and those, you know, the outdoors, and everyone is swimming in Dublin every morning in the freezing cold. And, you know, everyone got really involved and very positive. It was very good for a while, but I think now people are just starting. And people have family members who can't fly home for Christmas. It's really hitting home how long this year has been.
So if somebody came, let's say, came to England for a meeting or something, flew over, and they went back to Ireland, what would they have to do?
The 2 week, they'll have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. Now, most people get swabbed anyway before they fly. But at the moment, the rules, I think they're talking about changing it to maybe a swab before they fly and a swab and a short period of self-isolation. But at the moment, it's still a full 2 week isolation when you come back.
Yeah, I think they've just announced that they're going to reduce that to 10 days here. Whether that's a particular Christmas thing or a general
thing, yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be great for people.
Financially, have people been hit? I mean, obviously, small shops. Were all the small shops forced to close as well? I don't know.
They were. Everything apart from essential services. So retail have been hit very badly. and the big, I suppose, retail companies in Ireland have let a lot of people go. I think financially a lot of people have been hit very badly, but the effects aren't being seen right now because I suppose government payments have been quite good and people, you know, have been getting through on them. I think in the new year, the implications will really hit. A lot of businesses have gone over and they're starting to close now. They were able to kind of get through the last few months, but they've just kind of had to give up now. And when these payments start to wear off or they stop those payments, that's when reality will really hit home. But right. Definitely it's had huge financial implications.
Yeah, and I wondered whether you read in your papers. We I'm afraid we haven't had anything in the UK papers about what's going on in Ireland. Do you read about what's happening in England?
I suppose we would. I suppose England, the UK being the bigger country, and we would hear a lot more about what goes on in the UK. And I suppose it seems similar. I mean, I think everywhere has been hit, hasn't it? This probably.
The other thing that we have hanging over us over here, of course, is Brexit. Now, that's not going to affect you directly, although it will indirectly, because of the amount of cross-border. But that's just adding, I think, to the level of anxiety and depression.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's going to potentially affect the vaccination program.
Yeah.
How you feel about the fact that your life over the last 6 months has been affected, particularly this very special occasion for you with a new baby. You've been able to get on and do what you wanted to do and
it has been, I mean, I suppose, as you said, I don't have a reference point to compare it to, but it has definitely been a different experience. And even having a baby and usually the influx of people coming to meet your baby and family and everything, that's all changed. Now, I suppose in between lockdowns, a few of my friends have been able to meet Georgina, and there was a lot of, I said, going out for walks with her and takeaway coffees, and I suppose you can't do much more with a baby anyway, but it's definitely been a different experience and nowhere open to go, and no, none of the kind of, I know I had all these ideas of the baby yoga massage classes that all my friends have done, and none of that, and no meeting other parents or anything. So it's been different, to be honest. It's been absolutely fine, but it's definitely a different experience, and it's probably definitely taken from the whole first baby experience, you know. As long as we're all healthy, that's fine, but it is definitely a different experience.
Yeah, well, you're going to perhaps have an opportunity in the future to compare.
And yeah, exactly. And then I'll know for sure. Yeah.
I shouldn't be presumptive about it.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Anything else? What I'm trying to capture on these conversations is a feeling about how it's affected your life and your mood and your health. And fortunately for you, it hasn't really affected your health at all. That's a wonderful thing. But is there anything that you thought about when you knew I was going to speak to you that I haven't asked you about and you'd like to add? Because I think I've captured the important bits I wanted to about how Ireland, particularly about obstetric care that you've had.
Yeah, I do think being a doctor and going through the pregnancy part, even though I was more exposed than other people, I do have other non-medical friends who went through pregnancy, COVID, and the anxiety that they've felt in Ireland, and I'm sure everywhere, has been huge. And the partners not being able to come for scans and things, I think that was something I was able to get on with, because I know a bit more about the area, and I kind of knew what to expect. But I do think the impact it's had on my pregnant friends has been massive, and added such an extra layer of stress to their whole journey. And so I think you're feeling your own stress during the pandemic here, but you're also feeling everyone else's stress. And that's really what has brought a lot of people down. It's not only your own, your friend's family who's got COVID, or your friends who are going through all these stressful times, as well as yourself. And I think that's just the big thing about this. It's not just yourself you're worried about.
No, but it's also the sharing of the excitement and the experiences with not just your immediate family that you can actually get together with in your bubble, but your wider friends.
Wider, yeah. And I suppose Ireland is a very social place, and that is really seen. I mean, usually the pubs every night at the weekend here are full and people are just, you know, larger than life, but that's obviously taken such a hit in the last year, and that's a big way of life in Ireland. So, and all the small country pubs and things, it's a very different way of life, and it really has affected people.
Right.
And I think it will continue to affect people for years to come.
Do you think it's going to get that's going to go on for years?
Well, I just think the sense, I think it really will take a while to recover. I think even once we start getting vaccinated and maybe start returning to normal life a bit, I do think this will be a year that will take a lot. Some people a very long time to get over.
You'll be interested when we have now written a paper, a short paper, and it just gives names and ages and jobs of the people we've interviewed. And that will be coming out, I suspect, in Anaesthesia News. Unless there's something else that you want to say about how COVID's affected you and your life and your family's life, both professionally or non-professionally, I think we've got the important bits I'd hope to capture. And it's really been great to have somebody with your obstetric insight, if you like, both sides of the
thing. Yeah. No, that's been great. You know, I think that's everything. I think that got all my main points. Yeah. Well,
all I can do is really thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Georgina, a very happy, it's not time to wish her a happy birthday, but it will be a happy 6 months or something.
Well, yes, time's flying, God.
And all of you have a great Christmas.
Thank you, you too. It's lovely to meet you.
Thank you so
thanks a million, and lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Have a nice Christmas.
Thank you. Bye.